I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
From the field to the court to the rink, get your sports on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
I think we have to make it a tradition that whenever we're talking Syracuse athletics, we get the fight song on in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia and our special guest, Syracuse Athletic Director John Wildhack, joining us in studio. John, welcome.
Hey, guys. How are you?
John,
And by the way, you're right. Great song. Great music choice.
Yeah, we got to do it every time.
Yeah, gets everybody fired up for football. Spring game coming up Saturday at Dome. I'm looking at the forecast. Hey, it's a good day to be inside of the Dome Saturday, John.
It will be. Great day to be inside. It's really a festival and celebration of all things football. We've got three legends coming back. Larry Zonka, Tom Coughlin, Floyd Little.
Wow.
All who played in the same backfield. All who ultimately be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Because Tom will get there based on his two Super Bowls. Zonka and Floyd are there. So three legends coming back. We've got a number of activities, pre-scrimmage and post-scrimmage. We got a fan zone outside the dome from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., which is between gates C and E. The scrimmage will be about 1:30. The legends will be at the pregame from 11 to 1. And then post-scrimmage, the team, the staff, and the legends will sign autographs for all the fans. So it'll just be a fun day to celebrate Syracuse football.
Talking with John Wildhack, Syracuse Athletic Director in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Let's look ahead to the season because Clemson is coming in on September 14th, and you also made that homecoming. Now, you could have probably sell out that Clemson game regardless, but then you have homecoming on a separate date. Tell us about the decision to make them both. This is like an all-in moment for Syracuse football, right? I mean, you could have, I mean, I don't know, what, you know, game day and the whole, the carnival and everything that comes with that. This is a big game for Syracuse football.
It's the most anticipated home game that we've had in probably 20 years.
Sure.
And I wasn't going to make it homecoming, and I didn't want to make it homecoming. And then our alumni office, they were inundated by alumni, like, please make Clemson homecoming. So they came to me and they said, hey, John, we're just getting inundated. You know, is there any way you'd reconsider? And I'm like, all right, you know, for our alumni, for what they do for the university, I'm like, you know what, we're going to do it. And it is unusual. And it's also the day we're going to retire Tim Green's number 72, one of the great legends of Syracuse football. And obviously Tim is bravely combating ALS now. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be an incredible day. And, you know, it'll be memorable.
Yeah, on top of that, why are the reasons you would think that Clemson, Syracuse gives them a game? You won 2 years ago, you gave them a game. It's a team that actually you match up pretty well against.
Yeah, I mean, their offense is loaded. I mean, those guys coming back, Trevor Lawrence and their skill guys, and, you know, they lost a lot on defense, but, you know, it's the old saying, they don't rebuild, they reload. But we played them competitively the past 2 years. And I think, you know, that bodes well for us. It gives our guys the confidence. And you guys know how important confidence is. Our guys have confidence that we can play with Clemson. We can beat Clemson. Obviously, it's a tall order. But that's, you know, hey, if we want to get to where we want to go, this is the team that we have to play and compete with every year, and we've got to beat occasionally.
We've got Syracuse Athletic Director John Wildhack joining us in studio here, the Sports Bar, with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Let's talk about some dome renovations. We know March 1st, 2020, that's a targeted date that you have to be out by, which means the lacrosse teams are going to have to find another home. Where will they play? Is that Cicero North Syracuse, or could we maybe have a game in Rochester?
It's an interesting thought. I like that thought. That's a good thought, Danger. We played a game at Cicero CNS this year against Duke. That went really well. Mm-hmm. We had a great turnout. Fans really had a good time. Same day the women played outdoors at CBA. That went well. So we've got two venues which would work really well for us. As we always do, we'll front-load home games because other lacrosse teams, they love coming to play in the Dome in February because it's mm-hmm. perfect weather. It's a disruption, but it's a minimal disruption. And the key from the get-go with a dome renovation, from my point of view, is we need to be ready for football 2020. That's the priority. Our two last basketball games next year, probably be on the road, ACC games on the road. That's fine. We're still going to have 19 home games. We'll have 10 conference home games with the conference expansion. And obviously we open against Virginia next year, November 6th, because kind of new scheduling quirk. Everybody's playing a conference game to open the season. So who do we get? We get the defending national champions.
Talking to John Weltak, Syracuse Athletic Director, we've talked a little bit about what's happening with the dome renovations, but in that window between March and the beginning of football season, that's the roof. What else? What's going to happen in all those months? Not a lot of time for you guys to do all that work.
Yeah, no, it's a relatively tight time frame, but the engineers, the construction, they're very confident they can hit it. Obviously the roof is the primary project, but then with that, it's kind of a top-down approach. We're going to do state-of-the-art lighting system, which I think is really going to be, add to the entertainment factor. A new state-of-the-art sound system, which we sorely need. Again, I think it'll be really noticeable to our fans. A center-hung four-sided video scoreboard. It's going to be really, really cool, and it's going to be on a track. So for basketball, we can move it over the center of the basketball court. So I think that's going to be pretty. That's going to be really cool. Significantly upgraded Wi-Fi, so that'll all be in place for 2020, and then for 2022, we'll do air conditioning. We'll do upgrades to concessions, to restrooms, accessibility, that type of thing. So it'll be a different building, but I really think that the experience for our fans is going to be changed dramatically, and I think it's going to be dramatically better than it is today, and that's one of the keys for us throughout this project is, all right, we need to put our fans front and center.
Hey, John, I'm going to go back to what I said about Rochester because I was only kind of half joking with you. But seriously, let us be the advocate for more Syracuse athletics here in Rochester. And we've had it done in the past. In 2004, the year after they won the national championship, they came here to play Bonaventure. That was awesome. A few years ago, we know Doug Marone brought a spring workout to Rochester. It was a freezing cold day. I think, Gene, you were telling me that.
Oh, yeah. We could have had a better day. But.
Well, what about a fan fest or some kind of a game, something in Rochester to just kind of give us a little bit of a taste here in this market about what all the great things that are happening at the university?
It's a really good question. I'd like to do it at some point. We got to figure out the right way to do it, the right place to do it. What's the right sport? It's really easy getting the, you get the routine, right? You practice at home, et cetera, that type of thing. But I want to do it. We've kicked the idea around, but we haven't landed on what's the right sport? What's the right time? What's the right time of year to do it? But it's something in the future because one of our keys from a marketing standpoint is to really get back in this market.
Sure.
This is a really important market. I mean, it's an hour and 10 minutes from here to the Dome. We got a large alumni base. We got a large fan base. Candidly, I don't think we've done a really good job the past 10 years of trying to connect with that fan base. We're trying to change that, and that would obviously accelerate.
And you mentioned a lot of local Rochester athletes, specifically lacrosse, from Rochester, doing well.
Yeah, Jamie Turnboli, the tacker. I mean, there's you have an All-American on the women's team, too.
Yeah, Emily Harris-Chuck on the women's she's top 10 in scoring in the country, top 10 in points in the country, All-American. Jamie had her great game last night. We played our best game of the year. We beat Cornell decisively and controlled the game from start to finish. He's played really, really well. So, we've got Brad Voigt from Penn Yan. Brad's our leading scorer. So it's great when we have Rochester area kids that contribute the way that those three are.
We're talking to John Weltak, Syracuse Athletic Director, reading that you have this apparel contract that's up. Might we see new uniforms next year for the athletic program?
Well, I know this. I've really our fans have been vocal about our football uniforms, and they've voiced their concern, and we try to listen to our fans. We're really close. We've got a couple of fine points we need to finish up with Nike. I'm confident we're going to do it, but a deal's never done till a deal's signed, right?
Sure.
So I don't want to get too far ahead, but if not at if not at the outset of the new term, certainly during the term, you know, it would be natural that we'd look to update and unveil new uniforms.
We're talking Syracuse Athletics with AD John Wildhack here in studio, the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Let's talk about the ACC network. We know it launches this summer. Curious how many football and basketball games are going to end up on the network and how available the ACC network as a network will be. You know, will it be DirecTV, Spectrum? Will you be able to get it on your normal providers, streaming, all of that stuff? What do you know about the ACC network, John?
Well, it's a good question, Danger, and the distribution side. Because right now, DirecTV will carry the network at launch, which is great. Gives us a national footprint. There's deals that have been done with Altice, which is primarily Long Island, Southeast, Southwestern Connecticut, Verizon as well. ESPN will negotiate for distribution of the network. They'll be in conversations this spring and this summer with Charter, with Spectrum. That's really important, obviously, to this area. In terms of content, you'll see a triple header in football. You know, every Saturday, and you'll see really good content. I mean, the first game on the ACC network is Georgia Tech Clemson, so defending national champions. And part of that is to put premier content on there because that'll kind of drive consumer demand for distribution. Basketball, both men's and women's, will be a staple for the network, as well as, again, both lacrosse programs for us, both soccer programs, volleyball. So it's going to be great for all our sports. It's really going to benefit our Olympic sports, and I think it's going to change our profile in recruiting for our Olympic sports.
How have the other conference networks fared since their inception? The Big Ten network, the SEC network, you know, did you guys keep tabs on that and look at their success before making this decision to move forward with the ACC network?
Absolutely, and we made the decision with the ACC network when I was still at ESPN. Uh-huh. So I say we. That was me when I was at ESPN, and I was part of that decision-making. And it's really the same model as the SEC network. And the SEC network was wildly successful at launch. That's not replicable in this day and age because the media world has changed, as you guys know, in the past 5 years. One of the things you mentioned about digital providers and streaming, that'll be part of the ACC network as well. So it just won't be linear, but it'll be available on digital carriers as well as for streaming services. The Big Ten network has been successful. That's kind of a JV between the Big Ten and Fox. The Pac-12, and it's a different model than the Pac-12, and they've had far more challenges than either the Big Ten or the SEC. I like the fact that the ACC model is really a replica of the SEC network.
Our guest is John Wildhack. He's the AD at Syracuse University. We got to talk some basketball here because it didn't end well for Syracuse, but the tournament, I think most people would say, was very interesting and exciting at the end. The way it ended for Syracuse with Frank Howard, John, not being available, when something like that happens, that big comes up, and the decision comes down, does that have to cross your desk first?
Yes. And it's ultimately I'm responsible for, the decision. And, we make it really clear to all our student athletes and our staffs, there are certain parameters you need to adhere to. And if you don't, you're going to, you lose the privilege to compete. And I feel bad for Frank because Frank's a good kid. He's a really good kid. He's a smart kid. At the same time as, if you've got parameters like that, you got to live by them. Because if not, then you're compromising your values. I felt bad for him because he's not a bad kid. Obviously, it's disruptive to the team at that point. We have standards and we're going to hold everybody accountable.
John, knowing that we've got something to look forward to next season and Joe Girard, a top recruit, what's your expectation given what the Orange did this year, looking ahead to next season?
I think Coach said it really well yesterday in the interview. It'll be an interesting team because if O'Shea comes back and, he's put his name in, but he hasn't hired an agent, and it's great. He can go get an evaluation, and I hope he comes back. If he comes back, he'll get better. So you have him, you have Elijah Hughes coming back, Jalen Carey and Buddy. Buddy played really well.
Sure.
Jalen struggled some, but Jalen will be a really good player, Jalen Carey. Inside, we've got two centers coming in, plus we got Barama coming back, Marek. So there'll be some depth. And Joe Girard, Bryson Goodine, who's a guard from Rhode Island, same high school as Michael Carter Williams. Bryson Goodine is really, really a good player. So I think there's a lot of potential. It'll be exciting.
Yeah, the one and done rule. That's a story that's kind of coming up here. We might have a change. Where do you come down on that, John?
I think my personal opinion is if a kid has no interest in school and they want to, and they're good enough to go play professionally right out of high school, they should be allowed to do that. Whether that's the NBA, whether the G League, whether it's international, if that's the route they want to choose, they should have that opportunity to do that. I do think, you know, kids do benefit from a year in school. You know, it would be hard to, you know, argue that Zion Williamson has not benefited from his year at Duke. But that said, if to me, the kid should have an option. You know, if I don't want to go to school and I really want to go play professionally right away, they should be allowed to pursue that.
We saw it last year close to home with Darius Baisley deciding to go into the G League rather than, you know, decommitting to Syracuse. And, you know, I know that sparked a kind of a debate of, okay, well, who's right and who's wrong? I mean, you committed to a school, but now you want to go get paid. And, you know, the jury's out on whether or not he'll be the kind of pro that he could have been if he came to Syracuse. We don't really know. I guess if you're Zion Williamson, you don't really lose anything by going to play for Duke for 1 year. I mean, if anything, you've made a lot of money just on your brand by playing for Duke. I mean, you had a camera on him the entire tournament. The Zion cam is that alone. I got to think, well, at some point, this kid's going to rake in $100 million plus when he does turn pro, even though he didn't make any of that money that 1 year that he played at Duke.
Yeah, he's the most marketable player to come out of college basketball since, you know, God knows when,
sure.
Right? And he's, you know, you see him in person. I mean, he's different. He's a different type of athlete, a different type of talent. He's a good kid. And, you know, you're right. All he did was build his brand. And I think he did a really good job of how he built his brand and grew his brand in his time at Duke.
So I guess not to get into a debate about whether or not student athletes should get paid, because I don't think that we're ever going to get to that point. But will we get to a point where a Zion Williamson can make money off of his own likeness while he's still playing at school? Because to me, that feels like the only kind of middle ground or happy medium that might exist in this age-old debate of student athletes need to make money while they're playing for a school.
Right. Again, my personal opinion, I think it should be studied. I really think the NCAA, I think the conferences should study that hard to see if there's a path where we could, you know, let kids, you know, make, you know, use their name and likeness to make money while they're in college. There'd have to be certain parameters around it. But I think it should be explored.
We had two teams in the final. This stat blows me away, that the last time we had two teams in the final that had never won a national championship was 19. Was the Magic Bird game with Texas Tech?
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So Texas Tech and Virginia. I guess, John, I mean, we want to say that Power 5, but are things getting more even now in college basketball? Is this a sign of things to come that we might have programs like a Texas Tech that you know, will rise up perhaps?
Well, I think there's more good players right now than there's ever been. And I think, you know, kids want to go where they can play. You know, kids aren't, you know, if you're a really good player, you're not going to go and be okay with sitting for 2 years on the bench. Maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, you would be. That's kind of a cultural change. If you're a really good player, you want to go play. In Texas Tech, you know, they have some really good players. Virginia, you know, veteran team. I mean, DeAndre Hunter's a lottery pick, you know, top 10 pick, top five in some circles. You know, Jerome, he's going to be a pro. Kyle Guy is going to be a pro. So they have players. And Texas Tech had players. And I just, you know, I was happy to see Virginia win for those kids and Coach Bennett, because he handled specifically the most devastating loss maybe in the history of the tournament last year in such a classy manner. And I think that's a lesson for every coach, anybody who's a leader, any manager out there. You know, he dealt with adversity, incredible adversity, and he did so in an incredibly mature and smart professional manner and used that as an incentive for this year. And it was really good to see he and those kids rewarded with a title.
John, how soon is too soon for you to hit Sodus Bay? We're all wondering.
I'm on my way down there next.
Perfect. Just wanted to make sure. I mean, it's chilly today. It's chilly today, but, you know, I got to think. It's on the mind. I mean, you got the Masters this weekend. At some point, you're going to want to get out there soon, right?
Yeah, my wife and kids are up on Saturday for kids took golf lessons. So, you know, hey, season's upon us. It's great.
Yeah, the sun is out today. John, one last question. For folks who don't know, you, before becoming the AD at Syracuse, many years an executive at ESPN, what has been like making that transition? Because you dealt with the powers in sport, but you were never a front-facing figure. Right. You're always the guy behind the scenes. So now that you're this public figure now. What has that been like for you being out and dealing with the public?
Yeah, I just, you know, I've really enjoyed the transition. I had an unbelievable career at ESPN, you know, beyond my wildest imagination. And I'm always thankful for that. But I love what I do now. I tell people it's a fun challenge, and it's both. The job's fun. It's very challenging. You know, I'm passionate about our student athletes. I'm passionate about, you know, what their success that they have, not only athletically, but academically. And we got kids. We have our men's soccer goalie, Hendrik Hilpert, who grew up in a dairy farm in Germany, graduated in May, 4-0, dual major in the Whitman School of Management. 4-0, 4 years. Mm. All A's. So when you have kids like that, and we're surrounded by kids like that, that motivates all of us. And as a, you know, as kind of a spokesperson for athletics, that's pretty easy when you have kids like that to go out and to promote and to sell your program.
Well, John, we're excited for everything going on with Syracuse athletics, starting with spring practices, of course, going on, and we can't wait to. We're talking to Dino tomorrow. We're talking to Coach Babers tomorrow, so we'll be talking more Syracuse football here in the next 24 hours in the sports bar. It's great to meet you in person. Thank you for making some time for us here in the sports bar. We look forward to doing it again real soon. Okay,
Andrew, Gene, thanks. Appreciate it, guys.
John Wildhack, Syracuse athletic director, our guest in studio, the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. I'll drink to that next. Some takes on tap, AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN. Rochester.
Bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.